We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77.
WABC.
Yeah.
What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Here on the Bernie and Sid Show, I have some bad news. Sid's not here this morning. He suffered a terrible loss in his family. A young man, a nephew of his, passed away. A young gentleman with three kids. And he will be attending that funeral, Will Sid Rosenberg. So our hearts and prayers and all our love goes out to the Rosenberg family. And it really is a sad, sad story. So Sid will be back. He'll be back on Sunday for Sid Sports Sunday from noon to 2 o'clock, the debut, the return of Sid Sports Sunday. And don't forget, also, he will be with Dove Hykind and a lot of other irate people protesting Saturday Night Live's anti-Semitism on Saturday night, again, outside 30 Rock at 9 o'clock. It all begins there. Speaking of which, we will speak to Dove Hykind at 8:05. We'll speak to Dove Hykind here on the Bernie and Sid Show. And today, of course, it is Friday. So for a lot of us, it's a relief. It feels good. It's the last Friday in February. That is also good news. A Monday will be March 1st, portending all good things. Spring, put the clocks ahead an hour at some point, and it stays lighter out. The sun felt strong yesterday in the car. And so things are looking up in that respect. In that regard, yes, and of course, the virus seems to be, the numbers are going down. We're under 3%, 2.7%, I believe, positivity rate here in New York State. And this, you see these fake news, local fake news, crazy people, you know, all bad news with the new COVID variant is spreading around New York City. No, it's not. It really isn't. The vaccine covers it. It's fake news. I believe it was started by the New York Times. And the health commissioner came out yesterday, the New York City health commissioner, not Dr. Death, Howard Zucker. The New York City guy came out and he says it was irresponsible of the New York Times to put out whatever information they put out. The new variant is not spreading like wildfire. Everything is good. It's going down. And by the way, we have almost 100 million people who have now immunity in this country. You have 50 million have been vaccinated. You heard Biden yesterday. Maybe, maybe not. 50 million vaccinated. And I'd say about 40, 45 million people have already contracted the disease, the virus, I should say, and which means they themselves are immune. So you put that all together, you have about a third of the country that is pretty much immune now. So we're heading towards herd immunity. And as the Dr. Marty McCarry from the Johns Hopkins University wrote in the Wall Street Journal, I believe it was last Friday, it looks like we'll reach herd immunity by the end of April. And Dr. Nicole Sapphire from Fox News, Sid's friend, she's been saying that for a long time. Now, Governor Cuomo continues to take incoming. This guy, the walls are definitely closing in on this guy, Governor Cuomo. And even his celebrity pals, the Time's Up organization with Eva Longoria and Ashley Judd, all of them, they want an investigation. I told you yesterday, you have a bunch of women in New York State senators, including Alessandra Biaggi, whose name I love, and whose dad I loved as well. But she's a flaming liberal Democrat, and she believes the allegations against Governor Cuomo, and of course Bill de Blasio. No surprise, the two of them mortal enemies, though. He said this yesterday about investigating de Blasio.
Look, these allegations are really disturbing. Let's be clear about that. They're really disturbing. We have to As New Yorkers, we've got to take this seriously. When a woman comes forward with this kind of very specific allegations, they have to be taken seriously. We need a full and independent investigation. I want to emphasize the word independent investigation, because this is just unacceptable. This kind of behavior, if it's true, is unacceptable.
Not some corrupt, stacked commission looking into it, like the 9/11 commission, by the way, which is stacked with Democrats. We'll get to that a little bit later. One other, the big Kavanaugh hoax leader, Kirsten Gillibrand, the New York State senator, she said, the senator from New York, I should say, she's not a state senator. Anyway, this is what she said.
Everyone has a right to be able to come forward, speak their truth, and be heard. And that's true for her, and it's also true for Governor Cuomo.
Yeah, everybody must be heard. The accuser has a right to be heard. But that wasn't the standard back during the Kavanaugh hoax. It was she must be believed. The accuser must be believed, not heard, must be believed. And remember that. So Gillibrand shifting, again, the goalposts and her terminology. And they're all hypocrites, ladies and gentlemen, on the Bernie and Sid Show on this beautiful Friday. Again, Dove Hyken coming up at 8:05. You know, I actually love Lady Gaga songs. I really do.
She's talented, I will give her that.
Didn't know how much I loved her songs until I started hearing them all day yesterday. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app. Simulcast out on Eastern Long Island News Talk 107.1 FM. My partner, Sid Rosenberg, out. Death in the family. So sorry, so sad. He'll be back again. Sid Sports Sunday at noon. Noon to 2, and the rally, the protest against Saturday Night Live's anti-Semitism is on, folks. 9 o'clock tomorrow outside 30 Rock. We're going to speak to Dove Hyken a little bit later. A little bit later we'll speak to Dove. And I just want to say again about the Governor Cuomo. We listened to you have the sex harassment allegations, which are very, very credible. The woman, Lindsay Boylan, of course, she has texts, emails, and she even invokes witnesses and says there are a couple of ladies who work with the smug thug right now who are afraid to come forward. But in addition to that, of course, there is the 15,000 elderly deaths in the nursing homes, right? And by the way, you had another attack on an Asian. An Asian was stabbed in the back in Chinatown. Now, this guy is in the hospital in critical condition. And they don't expect him to survive. The suspect surrendered, but another Asian, another hate crime, maybe. I don't know if they're designating it a hate crime. They're still doing the investigation. Again, the suspect surrendered. But this, of course, in the wake of Governor Cuomo's attack on the Asian American Democrat Assemblyman Ron Kim. And listen, what Ron Kim said at a rally the other day, attended by Janice Dean, who was very emotional, very good at the rally in Manhattan. Ron Kim said something that I've been talking about. Again, the question to me is, why did Governor Cuomo do this? Why did he do it? Why? He knew it was stupid. He had to know it was stupid. He's not a stupid guy. So why did he do it? Well, as usual, and I pointed out, we have to follow the money trail. I mean, his first of all, Melissa DeRosa, the woman who spilled the beans to the Democrat politicians, all that got leaked to the Post. Her dad is the top health and hospital lobbyist in Albany. Health and hospital lobbyist. Remember that. Her dad. Okay. So and Cuomo's big, one of his biggest donors is the health and hospital lobbyist, health and hospital industry, I should say. So anyway, listen to what Ron Kim said at the rally the other day about Governor Cuomo and what should happen.
We're asking Governor to immediately return all the hospital and nursing home lobbyist money, over $2 million that it took for over the last few years, immediately rescind and repeal that toxic corporate immunity that led to more deaths, turn over all the communication with the lobbyists to the press, to the journalists, and to the public, so we know exactly what you did. And lastly, we're dropping a letter to Congressmember Jerry Nadler to open up a congressional oversight hearing on this matter.
That's that for Mr. Kim.
That's it for you, Mr. Kim. Look, the smug thug. Here's the thinking. The thinking and the speculation, and that's all it is. Well, what else can you do? But he's talking about returning the money that you got from the health and hospital industry. And, of course, he gave immunity to the nursing homes to try to, well, perhaps, who knows what, to inoculate himself from their finger pointing. However, the thinking is that he wanted to clear out the hospitals of patients who are receiving Medicare, because these old people, Medicare doesn't pay a lot. You want to clear the hospitals out of those patients with COVID, get them out so that you can get patients in there who have lucrative health insurance that pays a lot more. That is some of the thinking that's going on, which is why Ron Kim, I believe, wants to see all communication between Governor Cuomo's office and the health and hospital lobby, all that stuff. So it gets the plot thickens, ladies and gentlemen, and the walls are closing down on Il Duce. You know, the real Il Duce, Mussolini, ended up ignominiously strung up by his ankles in Milan next to his girlfriend in 1945, of course, dead. This Il Duce, he may be in a federal prison next to Bernie Madoff. Who knows? Maybe he'll replace Peter Gotti in the cell in which he just died yesterday. Yeah, I love it. Motown, baby. Diana Ross. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everyone in the 77 WABC app. Oh, I know. We're also simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. So we're going to speak to, Sid is out this morning. Sadly, a death in the family. And he'll be back for Sid Sports Sunday at noon, the return of Sid Sports Sunday, noon to 2 on Sunday here on 77 WABC. We're going to speak to Dove Hyken at 8:05 this morning. The rally is still on, 30 Rock. To protest, to let them know that they're on notice, these people at Saturday Night Live with their anti-Semitism. They have a pattern. It wasn't just that one non-joke that the guy told. Also, we'll speak to Alan Dershowitz at 9:05 and entertainment reporter Lauren Conlin at 9:25. And there's a lot of news out there. The Biden did an airstrike in Syria yesterday. So he's not even in the office 2 months. And here come the wars. I don't know. Maybe it was justified. Maybe not. We'll get into it. Also, the Lady Gaga, the dog heist, and the poor guy gets shot. The Los Angeles district attorney is a total screwball. He's to the left, believe it or not, of Ron Kuby. In other words, he wants to let everybody out of jail. He just hired a lady who hates cops, and I'll document that. She has a history. She's posted the shirts. I mean, I flat out saying she hates cops. She wants to abolish the police. Anyway, that's the kind of the people you entrust to lock up the criminals. For example, now they're hiring, legal aid attorneys to be district attorneys. It's really terrible. And, of course, the Senate votes today on this atrocious so-called COVID rescue bill. This is absolutely obscene is what it is. And a New York Times columnist, believe it or not, he says that anti-Trump sentiment, not science, may be behind the closure of schools. The Democrat school closure is what he says. And I'll tell you what else he says. You're not going to believe that either. And, of course, another media-hyped racial hoax is exposed. Another one. You remember the noose down in NASCAR, Jussie Smollett. There's so many of them. This one got a lot of attention back in 2018. You're not going to hear anything about it now that it's been exposed as a hoax, but I'll tell you about it a little bit later. And also, the 30 House Democrats wrote a letter. Believe it or not, they wrote a letter. They want Joe Biden to give up his nuclear powers for some reason. We're not sure why, but they want him to turn over the codes to Congress. And the president, remember the Nancy Pelosi, she wanted to reform the 25th Amendment last October out of left field for no reason at all. And the president actually at the time, President Trump, tweeted out, crazy Nancy Pelosi is looking at the 25th Amendment to replace Biden with Kamala Harris. The Dems want that to happen because Sleepy Joe is out of it. That's what the president tweeted last October. And now, again, 30 House Democrats, they want Biden to give up the nuclear powers because truth be told, the guy is he's suffering from some form of dementia. That's obvious. Here's what Nancy Pelosi said back in October.
I don't know what the prospects are when we hear people saying I'm young and I'm a perfect specimen. Come here tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the 25th Amendment, but not to take attention away from the subject we have now.
Do you think it's time to invoke the 25th Amendment?
I'll talk to you about that tomorrow. I'll talk to you about it tomorrow. I'm not talking about it today, except to tell you, if you want to talk about that, we'll see you tomorrow.
It was about Trump, not about Trump, it was about Joe Biden. Joe Biden's not going to last. He's really out of it. Again, he spoke to, it is Black History Month, and he spoke to a group the other day, and he just doesn't have it. Take a listen to this.
I didn't understand why we made the independent decision to send vaccine directly to 600 and some, there's 667 different drug chains or drug stores out there. I am determined to make sure we service the communities that are the ones that are the most most affected by the COVID virus. So, but one of the things that, I think there's a growing awareness that, there are those who are the vaccine
deniers.
Yeah. So, look, and then he was whipping out cue cards to find out, that we have 500,000 deaths in this country from COVID. So there's something up. Something's going on with Joe Biden. And what do the House Democrats know that we don't know? What's going on? Kamala's licking her chops. I understand, by the way, speaking of that airstrike in Syria, that Kamala Harris was not notified prior to the strike, and she ain't happy. She ain't happy. She's thinking, hey, listen, I'm the real president here. I'm the president in waiting. Shouldn't I have been informed? Believe it or not, that's a thing right now. We'll get into that a little bit later. By the way, the number here is 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-WABC. I will be taking phone calls this morning on any subject. The president's going to speak at CPAC on Sunday at 3:40 p.m., and we'll talk about what he should be talking about himself. That's what I like, happy songs.
Desmond has it by.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, everywhere in the 77 WABC app. We talked to a guy from Germany yesterday, believe it or not. The other day, a guy from Houston, Texas. The 77 WABC app, also simulcast on an Eastern Long Island News Talk 107.1 FM. Again, a dove hike in on the big rally at Saturday Night Live at 30 Rock tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. He'll be on at 8:05. Alan Dershowitz at 9:05. Lydia Reports at 8:25. And we'll get into all kinds of news today. Again, I mentioned the president is speaking at CPAC on Sunday. That thing began yesterday. Ron DeSantis, I believe, speaks today. And Mr. Potato Head, they want to take away, they want to make him gender neutral.
No longer Mr.
It's going to be Potato Head.
Potato Head.
And, I mean, it's the lunacy. They passed an Equity Act yesterday. Oh, and the teachers' unions, too. Again, I talked about that Nicholas Kristof guy. I got a lot to say about that. By the way, some people are saying that Hasbro, who owns Mr. Potato Head, they should take Bro out of the name Hasbro. I mean, it's just lunacy out there, folks. On the Bernie and Sid Show.
I love you, boy. Hot like Mexico. Enjoy. At this point, I've got to choose nothing to lose. Don't call my name.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. Simulcast out on Eastern Long Island News Talk 107.1 FM. And that's Lady Gaga. And again, I forgot how much I actually liked her music until yesterday.
Lady Gaga.
When the horrible news we heard about her her, well, the dog napping and the guy getting shot two times in the chest. He's in bad shape right now. Listen, Sidney Rosenberg, my good partner. He's my good friend. He's out today. A horrible death in his family. His nephew passed away. The young man, he had three kids, and it's just terrible. So he's going to the funeral this morning. Though Sid will be back. Sid Sports Sunday returns on 77 WABC on Sunday, right after Janine Pirro's show, at noon. Sid Sports Sunday at noon, noon to two, and he's got a lineup of guests, and nobody does sports like Sid Rosenberg. So anyway, he's got he'll be back then. He'll be back on Monday. Of course, he's not here this morning. At 8:05, we'll speak to Dove Hyken. The rally is on at 30 Rock. To put Saturday Night Live on notice about their pattern of anti-Semitism. Dove Hyken will be talking about that. The big rally, folks. Anybody's welcome to show up and let Lorne Michaels and the bunch of creeps there at Saturday Night Live know that we're watching, that we are watching them. Also at 9:05, we'll speak to Alan Dershowitz, 8:25 Lydia Reports. We're going to play Beat Bernie at 9:40, sponsored by Pete Morgan. Now, speaking of Lady Gaga, she actually... And understandably, her father said they're sick about the dogs being, dog not being stolen, actually. But somebody actually rolled up on this guy walking. In fact, we have some audio of it. You probably saw the video. We'll post it on the Bernie and Sid Facebook and Twitter page. But it was pretty horrible. They caught it on tape. They just roll up on this guy. He's walking three French bulldogs, and they just grab the dogs and shoot them twice in the chest.
Give it up! Give it up!
Now the car's pulling away.
I'm
inside. Oh my God. The poor guy's laying on the floor, holding one of the dogs. He wouldn't let him go. I mean, he put up a fight. And the reason why I play that, folks, is not for sensationalism. It's to let you know that's what crime sounds like. That's what crime sounds like on the street. I've been the victim of crime. I've never been shot, but I've had guns put at my head, my back, knives, this, that, the other. I used to drive a taxi. I got hit over the head, guns again. I've had friends stuffed into trunks that were driving taxis with me. Listen, this is what crime sounds like. I grew up in this city. Everybody knows. And this city is now racked with crime. And yet you have no cash bail laws. I mean, you have no cash bail. Now, this happened in Los Angeles. This happened in Los Angeles. And the L.A. there, excuse me, the L.A.D.A., this guy, his name is George Gascon. This guy is a total leftist radical. He wants to empty the prison. He doesn't want to arrest anybody. So I hate to say this, but I actually hope that these people, if they catch them, and they probably will, that they were let out on no bail because of this guy. Just to highlight how terrible what this guy and other DAs and right here in New York City, Cy Vance, the guy out in all of them, the whole five boroughs here, this movement to empty the prisons. To decarcerate, as they call it. And again, they didn't prosecute people during the riots. It was all the cops are bad and the criminals are virtuous. I mean, they're committing crimes because they have to. But this LADA Gascon, he just hired a woman. He hired a public defender named Tiffany Blacknell. She's now called a grade 4 prosecutor. So she has called LAPD barbarians. She says prisons should be abolished. She used the hashtag defund the police. She's called police an occupying army. She's also said that prison is obsolete and we have to reimagine America without prison. This is what an L.A. district attorney, now a current L.A. district attorney who was just hired, said, hired by this guy Gascon. And the result is what you just heard, and that's why I played it. Crime is real. You have it right here in New York City. People getting shot, killed. Pushed into the oncoming subways. And what do we have? We have a district attorney here in Manhattan, and he's not as radical as these people, but he's adopted their mentality. He doesn't want to prosecute anybody. I mean, you had a Black Lives Matter guy all summer long. He wouldn't prosecute people. People and the no cash bail laws. I mean, the people who looted Macy's, they were out of the police precinct after they got arrested before the cops got off their shifts. It's unbelievable. But take heart. Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance, he has millions of pages of Trump's taxes. So I feel safer now. Millions of pages. And the IRS, by the way, the IRS has actually gone through all of these tax returns already and found nothing. But listen, millions of pages, the amount of money and time and effort and resources that the Manhattan DA's office is going to have to put into going through these Trump taxes, these tax returns. I mean, the persecution of this man just never, never ends. And for what? Because he did a great job in office for 4 years. Just jealous of President Trump. You know, he's got a great family. They could find nothing on the Trumps because the Trumps pretty much are, above board, on the level. No corrupt crackhead sons, beautiful grandkids, beautiful wife. They just hate his guts, and they continue to persecute him. Here is the LA DA on George Gascon on no cash bail. Listen to what he said.
My office will roll out a plan to end money bail in Los Angeles in its entirety. We will be the largest office in the nation to eliminate cash bail.
Great. Wonderful. It's working so well here in New York that they're going to do it in L.A. They just did it in Illinois. They actually just did it. The Governor Pritzker just signed an executive order. I don't even know if it was an executive order they passed it. Either way, no cash bail does not exist in the state of Illinois any longer, believe it or not. It's absolutely outrageous what we have. The lunatics running the asylum. And on schools, you have, of course, this guy, Nicholas Kristof. He's in the New York Times. He's a Democrat, Trump hater. I mean, just a far left guy. But he actually had a column in the New York Times 2 days ago. Actually, it was yesterday. Anti-Trump sentiments, not science, may be behind Dems' school closures, Nicholas Kristof wrote.
Wait, that's in the New York Times?
This was in the New York Times. He's a top liberal columnist. And he says that the harm inflicted on millions of the nation's children by a year of school closures says it's a tragedy we haven't adequately confronted. This is what he writes. Many Democrats seem to be more suspicious of in-person schooling last summer when President Donald Trump called for it. We shouldn't let ourselves be driven by ideology rather than science. Especially when it comes at the expense of kids. This is a generational problem, folks. But he continued. He talked about the permanent damage that will be done. He says that the blunt fact, he continues, is that it is Democrats, including those who run the West Coast from California through Oregon to Washington State. And I would say right here in New York State, public school, the high schools are not open. They just opened the elementary schools. Anyway, he says that this blunt fact is that it's Democrats who have presided over one of the worst blows to the education of disadvantaged Americans in history. And he blames, again, Democrat governors and mayors, saying they too often let schools stay closed, even as bars opened. And this is what we've been saying forever. He writes that the repercussions will likely mean fewer college-educated workers in the nation's labor force and lower incomes for employees. Yes, that's true. I guess the good news is they won't be able to learn in school that cops are racist, that George Washington is a racist, and a bunch of Abraham Lincoln, and that America sucks. And maybe the other silver lining is, too, that these kids they'll go to trade school instead of, spending, $300,000 to learn to get a degree in Afro-Polish gender studies.
Well, Byrne,
which they'll never be able to use.
I hate to tell you, Biden may kill all those jobs, too, right? The trade jobs. Who knows?
You know, Adam Carolla actually, maybe that's possible, Matt Meany. Adam Carolla actually wrote in L.A. he was fed up. He says that teachers, not the teachers' unions, the teachers' unions are evil, and he was complaining about the teachers who don't speak up. He says teachers are either too lazy, they don't want to work, or they're cowards. He actually tweeted that, and they came after him. They wanted to cancel Adam Carolla. They came after his advertisers. Anyway, this is what he said on that topic.
I got 14-year-old twins that have been sitting in their La Cañada mansion rotting for the last year. And they're supposed to start high school, and they've never started high school. And it's abundantly clear what's going on now. The people that tell you to follow the science are ignoring the science. So I just realized we're going to have to buck up. I mean, they're ice sculptures. They're not going anywhere. They're frozen. And we need to step up, and people need to rise up and start telling these heroes to start doing their job again.
Right. I mean, previously we had a really high opinions of teachers is what we had. I mean, we thought they, you know, that's not any longer. And I've said this, I said it a long time ago. You have to speak up. If you agree with this evil Michael Mulgrew, then stay silent. But if you don't agree with him, speak up and say, listen, I got to go back to school. I got to help these kids. I understand what's going on. Catholic schools have been open since September. Charter schools have been open since September. No problem. Those kids are excelling. They're doing fine. They're learning. They're not going to fall behind. This is really a generational problem of a magnitude I don't think people appreciate right now. On the Bernie and Sid Show, 1-800-848-9222. I will be taking phone calls this morning. 1-800-848-WABC is the number. Again, at 8:05, Dove Hykind. At 9:05, we have Alan Dershowitz.
I should be back in school.
Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin. I came to win. Battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever slack up. Hunky, better back up. Try and play the role and you're the whole crew will act up. Get up, stand up, come on, throw your hands
come
up
on.
You got the feeling, jump up, touch the ceiling. Monsters are bumped up, someone's fucking jumped. Yo, I'll bust them in the eye, and then I'll take the pump. So, feeling
back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, we're heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app, simulcast out on Eastern Long Island News Talk 107.1 FM. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of stuff. Before I get to this atrocious so-called COVID relief bill, which the Senate will vote on today, almost $2 trillion. Now, the virus is almost ending. A lot of this money doesn't get spent until after, like, in 2022 and beyond. And by the way, they haven't spent the money from the last trillion-dollar stimulus bills. I think $4 trillion. It's just pork, pork, pork. It's back to the swamp is what it is, the swamp behavior. All kinds of, these personal, for example, Chuck Schumer right here, a bridge from New York to Canada. What does that have to do with the COVID relief? Anyway, I'll get into that in a second. But they also passed, the House did yesterday, they passed something called the Equality Act to end legal recognition of biological sex equality. That's exactly what they passed in the House yesterday. So in other words, they're all in on boys competing in girls' sports, all in. And previously, I think it was yesterday, I told you that the girls, they were suing the state of Connecticut to try to stop this type of thing. And the Trump administration had signed on to the lawsuit. And Biden actually, he says no. Biden says, let's get out of that. We don't care about these girls. It's all about transgender rights. I mean, and screw the girls. And where the hell are the feminists is what I'm saying. Where's the outrage? Where's Kirsten Gillibrand? I mean, the big. Where are they?
I just try to keep it real.
You're depriving these girls of scholarships is what you're doing, because I mean, you got guys who look like J.J. Watt and Dwayne the Rock Johnson in girls sports uniforms playing volleyball or running track or whatever the hell it is, and they're winning. And these poor girls that they can't get it's just. Again, lunacy. So they passed that yesterday. And also, there's this Dr. Rachel Levine. She was the Secretary of Health in Pennsylvania. Well, she is a transgender. Her name used to be Dr. Richard Levine. Anyway, she was sitting in front of a Senate committee yesterday. Joe Biden has seen fit to appoint her as a Deputy Health and Human Services Secretary. Believe it or not, even though in the state of Pennsylvania, just before she, just like Dr. Zucker and Cuomo here in New York, ordered COVID patients into nursing homes, she took her mother right out of the nursing home. Nobody says anything about that. Anyway, she's sitting there, this Dr. Rachel Levine, remember, formerly Dr. Richard Levine, and Rand Paul is questioning Dr. Levine, and he gets all into this transgender stuff, making all kinds of sense. Take a listen.
Dr. Levine, you have supported both allowing minors to be given hormone blockers to prevent them from going through puberty, as well as surgical destruction of a minor's genitalia. Like surgical mutilation, hormonal interruption of puberty can permanently alter and prevent secondary sexual characteristics. Dr. Levine, do you believe that minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex?
Transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field with robust research and standards of care that have been developed. And if I am fortunate enough to be confirmed as the Assistant Secretary of Health, I would look forward to working with you and your office and coming to your office and discussing the particulars of the standards of care for transgender medicine.
What's this now? Listen, it's kids. We're talking about kids and the forcing this on kids who don't know any better. Who are the transgenders have one of the highest suicide rates of any group in the nation, of any group, because of all this stuff that's forced on them as kids, and you know they regret what's happened to them or what's being done to them. Whatever. Listen to Rand Paul again. Take a listen to this.
Should minors be making these momentous decisions? For most of the history of medicine, we wouldn't let you have a cut sewn up in the ER. But you're willing to let a minor take things that prevent their puberty, and you think they get that back? You give a woman testosterone enough that she grows a beard, you think she's going to go back looking like a woman when you stop the testosterone? You have permanently changed them. Infertility is another problem. None of these drugs have been approved for this. They're all being used off-label. I find it ironic that the left that went nuts over hydroxychloroquine being used possibly for COVID are not alarmed that these hormones are being used off-label. There's no long-term studies. We don't know what happens to them. You know, if you've ever been around children, 14-year-olds can't make this decision. In the gender dysphoria clinic in England, 10% of the kids are between the ages of 3 and 10. We should be outraged that someone's talking to a 3-year-old about changing their sex.
I mean, it's the common sense, again, that and the schools and just everything else these days, the whole emphasis on white supremacy out of left field, all of a sudden.
Give me a little break here.
In the last 6 months, white supremacy, we never even heard about it before 6 months, you know, before the last June. And now, so supposedly, it's prevalent all over the place. All this lunacy, folks, going on. Now, we'll get more to Governor Cuomo, Bill de Blasio, Kirsten Gillibrand. They're all speaking out. And even Eva Longoria, Ashley Judd, their organization, they're saying, listen, we got to investigate this guy. The walls are closing in on Il Duce, folks, on the Bernie and Sid show.
Javier Baccaria.
Back on all the crap I learned in high school. It's a wonder I can think at all.
You don't have to worry about that these days. Back here on the Bernie and Sid show. Again, heard everyone at 77 WABC app, simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. Sadly, my partner, the great Sid Rosenberg, he is not here this morning. Horrendous loss in his family. And, just a death of a close relative, a nephew of his, with a young gentleman who had kids of his own. And he'll talk more about that on Monday. He will be back on Sunday, the return of Sid Sports Sunday from noon to 2 on 77 WABC, right after Janine Pirro's show on Sunday morning. So check out Sid on Sunday, and we miss him today. And our hearts go out, our condolences go out to the Rosenbergs right now. By the way, we're going to speak to Alan Dershowitz at 9:05. Before that, Dov Hykin at 8:05. The rally is still on. To put Saturday Night Live on notice, Saturday Night Live with their pattern of anti-Semitism. Again, the rally at 9 o'clock outside 30 Rock tomorrow night, Saturday night, 9 o'clock outside 30 Rock. Dov Hykin will be there. Sid Rosenberg will be there, and hopefully you will as well, ladies and gentlemen. Now, listen, yesterday Joe Biden was out there. This dotard was out there, and he was talking about, well, he was celebrating that we have 50 million people vaccinated. And of course, the natural thought that goes to mind, you know, who's responsible for these vaccines? Well, we know who it is, but listen to what he said.
We're moving in the right direction, though, despite the mess we inherited from the previous administration, which left us with no real plan to vaccinate all Americans.
Is that right? Well, check with your own guy, Dr. Fauci. No real plan to vaccinate Americans. Listen to what Dr. Fauci said.
We certainly are not starting from scratch because there is activity going on in the distribution. But if you look at the plan that the president has put forth about the things that he is going to do, we're coming in with fresh ideas, but also some ideas that were not bad ideas with the previous administration. You can't say it was absolutely not usable at all.
Of course, there was a plan. I mean, come on, give the guy credit. I mean, give President Trump credit, who will be speaking at the CPAC event on Sunday at 3:40 p.m., ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to tune in. The return of President Trump. 1-800-848-922 is the number. 1-800-848-WABC. Let us go to, Carol Ann. Carol Ann is on Long Island, Strong Island. Good morning, Carol Ann.
Hi, good morning. I just love you guys. I just wanted to let you know, educate you, that there are plenty of teachers going to school every day on Long Island. I work in Nassau County, and my child goes in Suffolk County, and we're in school 5 days a week since September.
What grades?
I teach kindergarten. I'm special ed, so all different grades. But
how about high school kids?
High school. My high school. Both my where I work and where my son goes. They're all open, full.
There are a lot that are not open, Carol Ann, from what I understand. Am I correct?
Yeah, I believe so. But in my world, I go every day, and my son goes every day.
Well,
so
good
there
for you.
Yeah, it's not on the news. By the way, my sister Barbara is good friends with your wife.
Well, shout out to Barbara. Thank you, Carol Ann. So I was on the boardwalk the other day, 2 days ago, and I saw all these little kids. I was out around lunchtime. It was beautiful yesterday, as a matter of fact. And I saw the Long Beach Catholic, where my kids graduated from, where Mike Francesa graduated from. They were taking the kids at lunchtime, walking on the boardwalk with their masks, and I'm thinking, these poor public school kids, that they don't have the same benefit, at least not here in New York City. They just reopened the elementary schools this week, but still a lot of schools not doing that, not a lot of schools. Let's go to Bob in Queens. Good morning, Bob.
Well, first of all, they didn't open the elementary schools this week. They opened the elementary schools way back in December. This week, they opened the junior high schools, and they haven't opened the high schools yet. But you're saying that all the charter schools are open. You are so wrong. You don't know what you're
all
talking
the Catholic
about.
Schools are open, and some some of the charter schools. The reason why they're not is because Bill de Blasio won't give them the buildings that they need. They depend on the city of New York for their
How about Ava Moskowitz? Ava Moskowitz runs a charter school, and she closed all her schools and said they will not be open until June. She closed them right through June. You can check on it.
Well, she's making a huge mistake. They're not all closed. Not throughout the country. Maybe here in New York City, but they're making a huge mistake. Again, just look at the Catholic schools. They're doing great. Sue is in Rockland County. Good morning to you, Sue.
Good morning. I wanted to tell you, you give a reason. You and Sid give me a reason to get up at 6 a.m. Congratulations on all your great work that you do for us who don't have the voice that you and Sid have. My condolences to the Rosenberg family, and you are a credit to Cardinal Hayes High School. My three brothers graduated from Cardinal Hayes.
Oh, no kidding. Yes, Cardinal Hayes. Up Hayes and all its loyal men. Sue, that was very nice of you. Thank you very, very much. Let's go to Eric in Tampa. We spoke to Eric's brother yesterday. He was a retired Army colonel who lives in Germany. We spoke to him. He was great. Eric is in Tampa, Florida. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning, Bernie. How are you?
Always good on Friday, Eric, I got to tell you. TGIF, for real.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, very sorry to hear condolences to Sid. I was calling in to maybe do the sports savant with him, but hopefully maybe next week. Yeah, that was quite a thrill. I couldn't believe it when I went to listen to you guys, as I do every night driving home. And he likes to talk, man, but I'm very proud of him, that's for sure.
He likes to talk, but hey, he's an American hero. He really is. I meant it when I said it. The best and the brightest. The question he got wrong, David Halberstam on yesterday on Beat Bernie. That's what your brother is, Eric. So thank you for the nice words. Keith is in Wallach, New Jersey. Good morning to you, Keith.
It's Warwick.
Oh, Warwick, John O'Halloran.
Yeah,
it's Warwick. Okay.
Apple Country.
I never heard of Wallach, New Jersey, but that's what was up. Wallach, New York. That was up on the screen. But anyway, go ahead, Keith. You're on the Bernie and Sid Show on 77 WABC.
Well, I'm a teacher of 27 years. I teach in New Jersey, but my wife teaches in New York, high school. A lot of friends teach in New York. And the big concern, as you said earlier, is the Regents. And if you ask the teachers who are willing to tell you the truth, their biggest concern is that the grades are all inflated because the kids are cheating. There was just a massive scandal at West Point with the cadets cheating. So if you give these kids the Regents test, the school districts can't figure out how to prevent the children from cheating. But if they take the test, they're going to fail. Wow. I have a high school daughter. She will not fail because she is in school online every other day, in person every day. But it's bad. Most of the teachers are good. They're doing the best they can with what they have. It's the unions, again, as you indicated. But right now there are reports coming out of Buffalo, New York, where only 18% of fifth graders are proficient in math, and that is consistent across the board. So
it's awful.
The federal government, the federal government and the teachers' unions are killing our kids.
You're right. The teachers' unions are evil, and the faces of that evil are Michael Mulgrew and a woman named Randy Weingarten. She's the national head of the UFT. Michael Mulgrew is the New York head of, I believe, of the United Federation of Teachers here in New York. They are the faces of evil. They're not just selfish and greedy. They're evil people. Ignoring what's happening to these kids, the depression, the drug addiction, the suicides, all that stuff. They don't care. They just don't care. Randy Weingarten, by the way, she was on one of the Sunday shows this past Sunday. It's worth a listen. Listen to her. Take a listen.
Bottom line, though, without full vaccinations, is this semester, is this school year probably not going to have full school openings?
Well, so let me, I'm glad you asked that question.
Oh, really?
Chuck, because
yeah, Chuck.
What does full school opening mean? If you do 6 feet of physical distancing, you're essentially saying in a school you're going to have about 50% or 60% of people in there at any one time, not 100%. So the issue really becomes, do we have 30% more space? Do we have 30% more teachers? What I think we need to do is we need to actually try to get as much in person as possible right now, have the mitigation strategies, have a real great summer semester to get kids' mojo back in a voluntary way.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do. They want to go to school during the summer.
Voluntarily.
Yeah. And she's worried about, how you're going to separate. Figure it out. The Catholic schools figured it out. All the airlines have figured it out. They're all flying in a little, essentially a flying bus. It's being done. Grocery stores have been open. All the frontline workers, the MTA workers, the transit workers, the police, the firemen. I mean, these kids should be the priority. They should be the priority. And we used to have a high opinion of teachers, but my God, it's gone way, way down. Listen, they actually are going to vote on this atrocious so-called COVID rescue plan, of which about 9% actually goes directly to COVID relief. And this was Joe Biden yesterday, because it's $2 trillion, folks, $2 trillion. They haven't spent the money from the $4 trillion from the last couple of stimulus bills, the relief bills or whatever the hell they call them. They haven't spent that money yet. And this money here, this $2 trillion, some of it doesn't get spent till after 2022 and beyond. So it's not really emergency COVID relief. Again, 9%. But listen to what Biden said.
We need Congress to pass my American Rescue Plan that deals with the immediate crisis, the urgency. Now, critics say my plan is too big, that it costs $1.9 trillion. So that's too much.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask them. What would they have me cut?
What would they have
me leave out?
How about $40 billion to colleges and universities? $40 billion to colleges and universities that have been collecting.
Wake up!
They've been collecting tuition all along. How does that help small businesses and restaurants and the unemployed hotel cleaning lady? Giving $40 billion to colleges and universities, again, who haven't suffered. They've been collecting tuition, as I point out, or fully $750 million for foreign countries for their health problems and vaccinations in other countries. We can barely afford health care for people here. And forget about the illegals that are coming in. $500 million for the arts and humanities. Give me a break. Why is that part of an emergency COVID rescue plan? And then out in Silicon Valley, $112 million for an underground tunnel for these woke dweebs out there in Silicon Valley. They have plenty of money of their own. How is that emergency, urgent COVID relief? How is it? An underground tunnel in Silicon Valley. Again, how does that help the poor guy in the Max Public House in Staten Island? How does that help him?
That's give me a little break here.
You asked what would you have me cut out? Cut that out. It's absolutely atrocious. And again, it's money we don't have. We're borrowing money from China. We're borrowing money from the people who caused the coronavirus, the China virus, that nobody, they don't want to assign blame to them, but that's what they're doing. And you talk about waste, fraud, and abuse with all this, Pelosi and Schumer are porky pigs is what they are. And the results may be when you print money and borrow money, spend money you don't have, is inflation, which is devastating. Ladies and gentlemen, it's devastating. And it may be coming, I don't know. I think this is going to pass today. They have the votes, unless somebody surprises somebody. But Kamala Harris will vote the deciding vote because it's a tie in the Senate, as you know.
Miss Lock Up a Brother.
Kamala Harris, who, by the way, was upset. She wasn't told in advance about the strike in Syria. She's like, hey, I'm really the president here. What's going on? Why didn't you tell me? Look, we're going to speak to Dove Hikind at 8:05. At 9:05, we're going to speak to Alan Dershowitz on the Bernie and Sid Show.
I love my calendar girl. Yeah, sweet calendar girl. I love my calendar girl. Each and every day of the year.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. By the way, I love Neil Sedaka. He's going to be on with Tony Orlando tomorrow night here on 77 WABC. Neil Sedaka live with Tony Orlando on 77 WABC as John Catsimatidis makes WABC Radio great again. Well, 10 p.m. to midnight with Tony Orlando following Cousin Brucey. Every day of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a... It was a huge hate crime hoax exposed just yesterday, as a matter of fact. And it's not been covered in the news. It was covered when it happened 2 years ago, when the allegations were made. Four people whose lives were ruined because of it. We'll get to that a little bit later. But I was talking about this atrocious $2 trillion so-called COVID rescue bill. And it's not just Schmuck Schumer has pork in there for a bridge up in from New York to Canada that has nothing to do with COVID relief. Again, it's just back to the old swampy behavior. And our own Congressman Adriano Espaillat, he was on CNN, believe it or not, and he was getting a hard time from the anchor, whoever, one of the one of the news ladies, let's put it that way. And he said he wasn't that comfortable. I think she was talking about Schumer's bridge because he's from New York, and she was alluding to that. Listen,
any bill that has $1.9 trillion, there will be one line that will probably be somewhat embarrassing, right, Poppy? But I tell
so
you what, this
saying
is the
it's
first-
embarrassing, and that's $101.5 million of taxpayer money. And I'm just saying, are you comfortable with it?
Yes, yes or no? I'm not comfortable. I'm never comfortable with it.
Yeah, he's never comfortable with it. So that's Democrat Adriano Espaillat from, I believe, the Bronx. I'm not sure.
He is from the Boogie Down.
From the Boogie Down. So, look, one of the top Cuomo aide, her name is Anita Hunter. She's actually quoted as saying that the pandemic is the best thing that ever happened to Joe Biden. The best thing that ever happened to Joe Biden. So they saw it as a political opportunity. And, of course, a lot of people would argue that it was the pandemic that brought down Donald Trump. Regardless of the fact that he made a great decision to ban travel from China early on, assembled a task force early on. By the way, the China travel ban, which Biden called xenophobic and racist. And then, of course, Operation Warp Speed. Despite all that, the perception was out there that he did not handle the pandemic well. And so Anita Hunter says the pandemic, the best thing that ever happened to Joe Biden. So Biden was slamming Trump yesterday. I played that clip earlier over the pandemic, despite the vaccines, as he was touting 50 million vaccines to have been administered to people. Now, this quote, this comment from Anita Hunt, Anita Hunter, excuse me, they were talking about it on Fox News yesterday, and this woman, Kennedy, she got very upset.
For one of Joe Biden's advisors to say this is the best thing to ever happen to him, tell that to the parents whose kids have committed suicide during the pandemic. It's beyond. I'm sorry. I don't have words for it because it's so deeply offensive, and they'll never get their children back. It's true.
Yeah, it is true. It's not a political. It shouldn't be characterized as a political opportunity, but there it is. And yet the Democrats continue, as I point out, Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times, Democrats' anti-Trump sentiment responsible for the lockdowns, the school shutdowns, all that stuff. Let's quickly go to Dan in Hillsborough, New Jersey. Good morning, Dan.
Morning. I wonder why Governor Murphy. Let me get off the speaker. I'm sorry. Why Governor Murphy is getting a pass on the nursing home desk? Because if I recall correctly, New Jersey was even worse than New York.
You're right.
Half of all of our deaths, we have the highest death rate per capita.
Dan, we're out of time. You're right. I think it's because he didn't cover it up. I mean, you had New Jersey, Massachusetts, Illinois, New York, and one other Democrat state did the same thing on the Bernie and Sid show. Julieta. Thank you on the Bernie and Sid show. I forgot how much I like Lady Gaga songs until the horrible news came out yesterday about her dog walker getting shot in the chest as they dog napped two of her French bulldogs. But anyway, there's Lady Gaga. We'll get into that a little bit later. And the situation in L.A. with this liberal D.A. and crime on the rise in Los Angeles and all over the country in these Democrat cities, including New York, right here in New York. Anyway, the Bernie and Sid show is heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. Also, simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. My great partner, Sid Rosenberg, he's not here this morning. He suffered a great loss in his family, I'm sorry to say. His nephew, a young man, passed away, a man with three kids. And it's just awful. So Sid is attending the funeral this morning. He will be back on Sunday, believe it or not, the return of Sid Sports Sunday from noon to 2, right after Janine Pirro's show on 77 WABC. Sid Sports Sunday, noon to 2. Sid, our love, our condolences. And our next guest is another man who loves Sid Rosenberg. And he is a great advocate for the Jewish people. Sid has dubbed him King of the Jews. But to be serious, he was a former assemblyman here in New York, and his name is Dov Hykind, and we got something planned. Dov Hykind, good morning to you, sir.
Absolutely, Bernie. It's good to be with you, and condolences to Sid. You know, too many tragedies happening these days. You know, people we know passing away. We just need to hope for better days for everybody with always good news and good health. I mean, that's the lesson of today, you know. Good health is more important than everything else in the world.
You're so right about it. Look at Rush Limbaugh. He had everything a man could ask for, money, palatial man, all that stuff. And if you don't have good health, what good is it? I mean, that's just one example, one minor example, but maybe a major example. Anyway, Dov Hykind, Saturday Night Live, of course. This one guy, Michael Che, a non-joke. It wasn't even a joke. It was a statement about Israel not vaccinating Arabs. It was a non-joke. It was just a statement. That's what it was. But he has a pattern, this guy on Saturday Night Live, of anti-Semitic comments, and so therefore there's going to be a rally led by you and Sid Rosenberg outside 30 Rock on West 49th Street, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night, 9 o'clock at 30 Rock, to put Saturday Night Live on notice that we're not having this anti-Semitism. Tell us about it, Dov Hykind.
Yeah, look, you know, it's critical that we speak out when there's anti-Semitism, when there's hate. You never give anyone a pass. And, you know, Anti-Semitism is never funny. It's never, you know, like, oh, it's just a joke. And what Saturday Night Live has indulged in on more than one occasion, just recently talking about Israel, about the vaccination, where, you know, the comedian, you know, who I didn't find very, very funny, talking about Israel vaccinating 50% of its population, made the comment, I bet they were only the Jews or only the Israelis. This is the kind of stuff that plays right into anti-Semitic stereotypes. This is the kind of stuff that demonstrates bias, you know, anti-Israel propaganda. Call it what you want, but it is clearly dangerous and unhealthy. I love comedy. I'm sure you do as well. We all enjoy to laugh. It's actually quite healthy. But what the hell is going on? I mean, what is going on that, you know, you can pick on Jews? You wouldn't dare do it with any other group. I mean, never. You would never do it. There'd be demonstrations. There'd be rallies and more. But again, and what happened a couple of months ago with the same comedian, where there was a Miss Hitler beauty pageant, okay? And the comedian, the punchline was, guess who won the Miss Hitler beauty pageant? Miss Israel won. This was just a couple of months ago, the same thing. So it's not funny. Anti-Semitism is not funny. And I urge people out there, you know, Saturday night, I know it's not always easy. There may be some raindrops. There may be whatever else. But you know what? We need to stand up and be there and send a clear message to NBC. By the way, I'm not accusing Bernie, NBC. I'm not calling everybody an anti-Semite. I'm not even calling the, you know, the guy who, the comedy guy, you know, that he's an anti-Semite. But I am saying that what they did contributes to an atmosphere that is not healthy. Period.
No, it's not.
Just apologize, for God's sake.
Apologize and, yes, say something about it. Lorne Michaels hasn't issued a statement at all, hasn't addressed it whatsoever, and he's Jewish. So you are not calling for Michael Che to be fired. You just want an apology. Is that it, Dovhagen?
Yeah. And we also want to educate people that this is not funny. You cannot get away with doing this kind of stuff and think that it's cute and it's okay. You know, Bernie, as a Jew, I want to be treated no differently than other groups, that everyone is so careful about what they say. You know, we live in this cancel culture atmosphere today, which is not a good thing. But if you look at someone the wrong way, Bernie, you could get fired. If you said something 20 years ago that they find that you said, you get canceled, right? But you can get away with these anti-Semitic, anti-Israel propaganda right here on a major network, NBC. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about some, you know, little group someplace. Let's not make a big deal about it. This is one of the major, you know, institutions of media in the world. And they can get away with this? Oh, my God. Come on.
Right.
So, you know, people need to come out and join me and Sid and so many other people who are going to be there to stand up. You need to stand up and say, apologize. This is not acceptable, period.
The West 49th Street entrance to 30 Rock tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, to protest the pattern of behavior of anti-Semitic remarks on Saturday Night Live. Dovhagen, also there's an issue with BET. They hired somebody who doesn't have a great track record. Am I wrong?
Look, you know, it's never ending, the double standard you know, one standard for people on the right or people who are a little more conservative or conservative, and another standard for people on the left. They can say and do almost anything, and that's okay. So you have this individual, you know, who has indulged in the most vile kind of hatred. I mean, really, beyond the pale, fired by CNN recently. I mean, can you imagine CNN firing somebody because of anti-Israel, anti-Semitic behavior, and then gets hired by a black network, for God's sake?
No, I cannot imagine that. No, it's happening too often. There's a woman that's been hired by the DOJ. Her name is Kristen Stewart, I believe is her name.
Right.
And she went to Harvard, and she actually hosted a friend of Farrakhan, a vile anti-Semite as well. So it seems like, as you point out, there's a pattern out there, and it's got to be nipped in the bud because this is how it starts. I mean, you know,
when it comes to racism and anti-Semitism, Bernie, don't look at the political affiliation of the person. Oh, it's a Democrat. I'm a Democrat. I'm not really going to rock the boat. No, one standard for everybody. You know, treat everyone the same way. If you are indulging in hate, if you are indulging in racism, we condemn you. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican. I don't care if you're Orthodox Jewish. I don't care what the hell you are. We have one single standard, period. But that is not the case today, especially in the Democratic Party, especially the left-wing progressive part of the Democratic Party. They are the first ones to get in line to condemn anything that they don't think is the right thing and call you a racist and call you names. But when they indulge in the same thing, it's kosher. It's okay. Because they are holier than the rest of us, of course. Of course.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Saturday night is a chance not just to make a statement, not just to issue a press release, but to get out there in the street, join me, you know, as you said, on 49th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue with Sid. And God bless Sid. You, Bernie, Sid was the one who got all this started, as you know.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Listen.
He's the troublemaker, so let's keep that in mind.
Well, we don't want him showing up in a Joseph Abboud sports jacket and a pocket hanky. We want him out there, you know, ready to protect Dove Hyken because you're going to need it, maybe.
Listen, he's amazing, and so are you, Bernie. And fighting for the cause and standing up and speaking out, it's not always easy, you know, but you got to do the right thing. And Saturday night, New Yorkers, people from the tri-state area, take a trip into Manhattan. A lot of people haven't been there in a long time. Come in Saturday night, 9 o'clock at NBC on 49th Street between 5th and 6th.
Dove Hyken, thank you for what you do. We appreciate it, and we encourage people to show up West 49th Street between 5th and 6:30 Rock to protest anti-Semitism, the anti-Semitism of Saturday Night Live. Thank you, Dove Hyken, and good luck and Godspeed tomorrow night.
Bernie, you're fabulous. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. On the Bernie and Sid Show, look, we're still going to get to this hate crime race hoax that was exposed yesterday. And also, they're turning on Governor Cuomo. I mean, you got Bill de Blasio, a lot of people turning on him. But still, nuanced talk from, say, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who is one standard for Brett Kavanaugh, but a different one for Governor Cuomo. We'll play the audio. We'll talk. The number is 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. But up next is Lydia Reports.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
And this Lydia Reports is sponsored by LifeVac. Did you know that 5,000 people a year choke to death? It's the scariest thing if you've ever seen, like especially a child choking because you just feel powerless. I'm a mother, and if you're a parent, a grandparent, aunt, or uncle, protect your loved ones. Protect your entire family by purchasing a LifeVac. And you just have to go to lifevac.net and use code WABC for 10% off. Again, that's lifevac.net. Excuse me. So
listen. Oh, go ahead.
Go on.
Do the report.
No.
Do the report, then we'll talk.
Oh, okay. You know, I've been going on and on about the school situation, how we got to get back to school. The infection rate that we know for COVID is less than 0.5%. And now finally schools are starting to open up, the middle schools, but still no word yet on the high schools across the country. Some kids haven't been to school for a year. And now there's a video going viral on the internet. And she's a little girl. She's about 8 years old. And her mother tells her you can go back to school in person, and take a listen to hear her reaction.
A lot has happened since March 2020. School got canceled on the 3rd of the 13th of 2020. But we have some news. Guess what? What? Guess what? We're getting a dog? 3-3-2021.
What is 3-3-2021?
This year, On the 3rd of March?
Guess what?
What?
Really? I've gone to school in such a long time.
You're enjoying my school.
Oh, my God.
How do you deny them? I mean, this is that's across the country. And that's how I would have been, too, as a kid. I loved going to school. I was that kid.
I have goosebumps. I have to tell you, that is that's incredible. And you know what? It infuriates me more when I think of the teachers' unions and some of these teachers, you know, doing these dance videos and refusing to go back. And for this reason and for that reason, while these poor kids like that just suffer. I mean, that. You know, that is just, she was a young girl.
Right. She's 8 years old. There was a study, a CDC study. Now, yes, they only focused on one school district in Atlanta, but they found that the drivers for COVID infection are not the children. They're the teachers. And it's been proven. We've heard these studies, but now you even have again, the CDC showing that the kids have more to worry about from the teachers and the teachers have to worry about the kids. They're the drivers of infection. It happened at my daughter's school. Every single time there was an infection, it was a teacher or it was an aide. It was never a student.
No, it's totally anti-science. These teachers' unions are anti-science. Michael Mulgrew. He's the head of the teachers union here in New York City. I hope he hears that. I hope he hears that because what this guy, Michael Mulgrew, and these teachers unions, they're just plain evil. They're evil is what they are. I mean, that girl is just a small example. And thank God she's young and she's going to go back and she's going to be fine. But there are kids who are a little bit older who are depressed and they're turning to drugs, suicide. You can just see, you can hear the relief. Oh my God, I can't believe it. That's the first time I heard that clip, and it's incredible. None other than the New York Times liberal columnist Nicholas Kristof. He wrote in the New York Times yesterday. He talked about how anti-Trump sentiment, not science, is behind the Democrats' school closure. This is Nicholas Kristof. He says that it's a tragedy we haven't adequately confronted. He says many Democrats seem to be more suspicious of in-person schooling last summer when President Donald Trump called for it. We shouldn't let ourselves be driven by ideology rather than science. Duh. I mean, we need Nicholas Kristof to tell us this, but at least it's in the New York Times now. I know Trump's out of office, so it's safe to do it. But he goes on. He talks about how that the school closures, he says, may result in permanent damage both to the children and the nation's future. You know, of course, kids in China are going to school. They're learning math and science. They're learning math and science while, you know, our kids are going to school majoring in Afro-Polish gender studies, by the way. But that's another story. But he does talk about the blunt fact is, writes Nicholas Kristof, is that Democrats who have presided over one of the worst blows to the education of disadvantaged Americans in history. And he blames it on the Democrat governors and mayors, saying that too often they let schools stay closed even as bars opened. That's Nicholas Kristof writing, and that's New York. I mean, they just reopened, what was it, middle schools, elementary
schools? Right.
I mean, high schools are still closed.
Still closed, and here's something scary that I know this for a fact. High school kids, they're having sex parties at each other's houses, drug parties, because they're out of school all day long and they're not even taking attendance. So while the parents have to go to work, the kids, you know, if you're in high school, you're 14 to 18. I know this for a fact because I have friends. They're having sex parties. They're doing drugs. I mean, it's really bad.
This is a generational issue, a repercussion. This is what he writes. The repercussions will likely mean fewer college educated workers in the nation's labor force and lower incomes. In other words, these kids are going to suffer in the future. It's a competitive jungle out there. You need every advantage you can get. So to miss a year or two of school, and again, the emotionally stunted, socially stunted, and mentally stunted. I mean, these kids they're depressed.
Like you said, the COVID kids, we're going to say, oh, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, like we say about crack babies. That's why you hear about a lot of the emotionally disturbed people shoving people on the subways and, you know, stabbing them and slashing them.
Right.
They're in their 30s. What happened 30 years ago in New York City? Crack babies. We're going.
And now Nicholas Kristof is coming to that realization. What does that make me, a genius? that I said that two months ago?
That goes without question.
Everybody's been saying it, right?
But that goes without question. You're brilliant, obviously.
No, please.
I'm telling the truth. You are. You're not even close. Yes,
not even
you are.
Remotely
absolutely.
Close. Look, 100%. It's absolutely the biggest issue to come out of this pandemic is the damage that's been done to these kids. And it's all because of these Democrat politicians who pander to these teachers' unions, who allow them to get away with this because they're sitting at home getting paid. They don't want to go back to work. We used to have a lofty opinion of teachers. That's gone. That's gone. I don't hear them speaking out in great numbers. A lot of teachers are great people. They're back in school. The Catholic schools have been back since September. And even some public school teachers, I'm sure they want to go back, but I don't hear them on the news saying, hey, listen, I disagree with my teachers union head, Michael Mulgrew. We have to get back to school. I don't hear that.
The people that are keeping the schools closed, they're cutting their nose to spite Trump. You know that expression, right? Cutting your nose to spite your face. They're doing everything they can to spite Trump, but in the process hurting themselves even more. And we can go on and on with the policies that are being done. Even Jen Psaki, she said it yesterday. She goes, well, anything that the Trump administration did regarding immigration policies, we're not following that. Why not? MS-13 was gone. You know, Peter King was on with me yesterday. 25 kids, because they were kids. They're like 18. Most of the people that were killed by MS-13, every single one of them was from the immigrant community, from communities of color.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And they were chopped up. I mean, it was horrific what happened to them. So what people aren't realizing is these very communities, these regressives claim to be protecting, are the ones that they are hurting.
Exactly right. Exactly right. The criminals that live amongst them, and yet we put a moratorium on deporting these very criminals. It's absolutely pernicious and, again, evil on the part of these Democrats.
Let them go to the neighborhoods, because I was a reporter. I had to go to all these neighborhoods almost every single day, these lower income communities, because unfortunately they're the ones that are susceptible to the crime. First thing they would say is, we need more cops. We need this. We need that. Not less. So are these people like AOC going to these communities and asking them, what do they want? Because they don't realize these immigration policies, the school closures, that's who's hurting the most, are these communities of color they claim to protect.
Not to mention, just generally speaking, wages and jobs that they're going to have to compete for with these illegal immigrants that do come here. I mean, it's just a total mess. The Remain in Mexico policy, to do away with that, makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Anyway, Lydia Reports.
And this Lydia Reports, again, is sponsored by LifeVac. 5,000 people a year choke to death. I once saw my daughter, like, choking on it was just, like, the smallest thing. Thank God she spit it out. And I also, after that incident, I got myself a LifeVac. So I'm a mom, and if you're a parent, grandparent, aunt, uncle, you name it, you can protect your entire family with a LifeVac. Just go to LifeVac.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. Again, that's LifeVac.net.
Thank you, Lydia. We can hear Lydia today at WABC at 4 o'clock. Lydia, and Sunday nights at 9 o'clock.
So 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, excuse
yes.
me.
So no, thank, you're fine.
Thank you, Lydia. And that Lydia report was great. Listen, we had this big race hoax at a college. It was exposed this week. It was a big deal 2 years ago, but you don't hear about it today. I'll tell you about it. Also, these 30 House Democrats want Biden to give up his nuclear powers. I mean, what do they know that we don't know? And also, they're turning on Governor Cuomo. We're going to speak to Alan Dershowitz as well at 9:05 on the Bernie and Sid Show.
You having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rap patrol on the patrol. Foes that want to make sure my cast is closed. Rap critics save money cash. I'm from the hood, stupid. What type of facts are those? If you grew up with holes in your tap of toes.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app, simulcast down on Eastern Long Island, Newstalk 107.1 FM. And my great partner, Sid Rosenberg, is not here this morning. He suffered a tragic loss in his family. His nephew, a young man, passed away. He'll tell you about it on Monday when he comes in. I don't know how much information he wants to reveal about it, but it's tragic. He's attending the funeral this morning. But he will be back on Sunday for the Sid Sports Sunday return at noon, right after Janine Pirro's show on 77 WABC. And also, he will be at the rally to protest, to put Saturday Night Live on notice about their anti-Semitism. Tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on West 49th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue. That is on. I spoke to Dove Hyken a little while ago. Now, the phone number here is 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-WABC. Let us go to TJ in Brooklyn, Matt Meany. TJ in Brooklyn, good morning to you, sir.
Bernie, these trying times, I often look back to, Bernie securing the Bronx neighborhood with military guard. We're going to need that soon.
You remember that?
Some of the best stuff out there, Bernie.
Folks, TJ, remember I was giving out on 161st Street.
Yeah.
I was giving out 40 ounces, and they were lining up. And that's the only way I could get them to interview people on the street, and it was hilarious. But thank you for remembering that.
Oh, good times. Listen, you're 100% right. I mean, my wife's a teacher. A lot of these teachers who have been vaccinated both times already, still refusing to go in. Teachers in person, the majority of them are people of color. And, they don't have family members writing them doctor's notes. They don't, they can't claim all these ailments that, others are. And these teachers, half of them are, my wife teaches in a school. She has to teach 15 classes, but the remote teachers only have to teach 7. She has one teacher that's been in Florida for the last 5 months.
Wow.
Talking about how unsafe, but, you're okay to go out down there. And, it's just a hypocrisy. The DOE, it all stems from, one hand washes the other. I mean, inept leadership in the city, the DOE, and the state. And this is what you get, Bernie.
Yeah, you're supposed to be an essential worker and a hero. I mean, the transit workers are back at work. Grocery store guys have been there for, since the beginning of the pandemic. Everybody's back. And the kids, what's more important than the kids? The future, our future. They're our future leaders, our future innovators, our future everything, our future teachers.
I should be back in school.
You should be back in school. Thank you for the call, TJ. But, it's just, I just want to hear more teachers speak up and call out the unions. Let's go to Darren in Long Island. Darren, good morning to you, sir.
Hey, good morning, Bernie. I don't think you're going to hear teachers speak out against the union. They're not going to do that publicly. Because then when the teacher needs the union's help, they're going to be like, oh, sorry, you guys spoke out against us. But I can say firsthand that I know elementary school teachers.
Yeah. No, they're afraid to call out their unions. Probably understandably. Mike is in Mayo Pack. Good morning to you, Mike.
Morning, Bernie. Real quick with these unions. Listen, I was a union guy when I was working, but how can you be mind controlled by a union? If you don't support the candidate, why are you letting your union tell you who to vote for? I hardly voted for who my union supported. If I didn't like their policies and I didn't like anything else, I voted for who I liked. These guys on a pipeline, their union supported it.
Right, exactly.
And what happened? They got kicked in the you-know-what. They lost their jobs.
And hopefully they won't forget it in 2 years or in 4 years. But, right, exactly right. They got screwed. The unions, the people are like robots in these unions. But when it comes to kids, even the pipeline workers, that's bad. That's very bad. That's going to screw the country. But again, this thing with kids, it's long-term damage. It's a generational damage. These kids are never going to catch up. Never, ever, ever going to catch up. They're screwed up, and we're going to see the ramifications. We're already seeing it now, drug addiction, suicides, but it's going to even get worse. And it's going to be traced back. A lot of it will be traced back to this, these two lost years of non-school or this remote learning thing, which is not effective whatsoever. And the shame of it is, of course, again, and I'll point to it over and over again, the Catholic schools have been open since September, and they're doing just fine. So it didn't have to happen. That's the tragedy. Now, listen, and thanks for the call. I just want to mention this. I talked about this hate crime hoax back in 2018. You had this rich girl. She was she went to boarding school her whole life, and she's going to Smith College, which is up. It's a very elite school, $80,000 a year tuition, up in New Hampshire. And apparently, she's a black girl. She was eating in a lounge that was closed, and a janitor called campus security, and he said, "There's somebody eating in this lounge that shouldn't be in there." And so she actually taped the encounter. When the security officer showed up, she taped it, and the exchange was, well, this is what it sounded like.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I was wondering why you were here.
Oh, I was eating lunch. I'm working the summer program, so I was just relaxing on my couch.
Oh, you just taking a break? No.
Yeah.
So you're one of the summer programs?
Yeah, I'm actually a TA.
Okay.
So that's what it was.
All right.
He just said from the doorway, he didn't know what lunch is over with, so it's probably...
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's just like kind of stuff like this happens way too often where people just feel like threatened.
Okay. Well, it didn't seem like the cop was the security officer. I mean, it didn't seem like anything racist, but she tweeted that night, "All I did was be black. It's outrageous that some people question my being at Smith College and my existence overall as a woman of color." And she posted a tape of the incident. She called that guy that she was talking to, who was so polite to her, she actually labeled him a racist punk. And then she went on to post the name of the janitor who called him, and a couple of other people who had nothing to do with the incident. So four people lost their jobs and their lives. They were suspended. There was an investigation, blah, blah, blah. It took 2 years. But after 2 years of an investigation, it came out this week that there was no racism whatsoever involved. It was a misunderstanding. Yet in 2018, that very girl was on Good Morning America, and this transpired.
This young lady calls the entire situation outrageous, and she's sharing her story so that no other woman of color goes through what she went through.
I'm just so upset.
This is Umu Kanute. She's a sophomore at the college, working as a teacher's assistant and residential advisor over the summer. She was confronted by campus police officers.
I see the cop walk in with a Smith employee whom I've never seen before. And the man asked me, we were wondering why you're here.
Kanute, still emotional over it all, says she was very nervous and overwhelmed after the incident.
It just still upsets me to just talk about it because I don't even feel safe on my own campus and I'm away from home. I'm the first in my family to go to college.
Now, there were two separate reports, and the recent one was 60 pages long. No racism whatsoever. Again, just a mild misunderstanding, yet Good Morning America trying to stoke division and hatred and racism in this country for some reason. And they did nothing on this that report. They did nothing on the exoneration of these four people this week. Nothing whatsoever. Those people, again, they were harassed. She doxed them. She put their names, their addresses out on social media. And this happens all the time. That's why, look, racist incidents, they do happen. But whenever you hear these nooses, the NASCAR noose hoax, of course, the Jussie Smollett thing, you got to put your radar up. Your antenna has to go up because, a lot of time, more times than not, they turn out to be hoaxes. And again, shame on Good Morning America, really. Eating While Black is what she dubbed the incident at the time. That was the headline. That was the clickbait. Eating While Black at Smith College. It never happened. Never happened. There was nothing happened that was untoward. On the Bernie and Sid Show, 1-800-848-9222. We're going to talk to Alan Dershowitz at 9:05.
Make America great again.
You still want me? What tied yellow ribbon around the old?
I love it. I love it. It's Tony Orlando. Now listen, Weekend Sound Best on 77 WABC Music Radio. We play the hits that made us famous from 6 to 10 with Cousin Brucey's Saturday Night Rock and Roll Party. Then at 10 o'clock, it's Tony Orlando, the man you're listening to right now. This iconic entertainer, he plays the music you love and talks to the stars. And this week, Tony Orlando's special guest, Neil Sedaka. Tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, folks, get the stories behind the hits with Tony and Neil this weekend on 77 WABC. I love it. I love it. What I might see.
I'm really still in prison and my love, she holds the key. A simple yellow ribbon's all I need to set me free. I rode and told her please.
Hey, listen, the screws are tightening on Governor Cuomo, of course, you know, 15,000 elderly deaths, the cover-up, and now the sex harass allegations. None other than Bill de Blasio. Surprise, surprise, they hate each other. But he's full-blown out-of-the-closet attacking the governor. Take a listen.
Look, these allegations are really disturbing. Let's be clear about that. They're really disturbing. We have to, as New Yorkers, we got to take this seriously. When a woman comes forward with this kind of very specific allegations, they have to be taken seriously. We need a full and independent investigation. Yeah. I want to emphasize the word independent. Investigation.
Lock them up.
Because this is just unacceptable. This kind of behavior, if it's true, is unacceptable.
That's that for Mr. Kim.
And Kirsten Gillibrand came out yesterday and say, the accuser must be heard, and Cuomo must be heard as well, though. But during the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, Gillibrand was like, she was saying that the accuser must be believed, not heard, believed. And she said nothing about hearing from Brett Kavanaugh. Either way, the governor is in big, big trouble. His reputation is in tatters at this point. Will he make it to the election? I don't know. I don't know. To impeach him, they have about half the Democrats they need up in the state assembly, in the legislature. But we'll see what happens. Now, let's go to the phones. 1-800-848-9222. McMet is out on Long Island. Good morning, McMet.
Good morning, Bernie. Big fan. Been listening to you since IMUS. I think you're great. You should run for office.
That's very kind of you, McMahon. I appreciate that, but I ain't running for anything. I'm staying right here.
You should, man. So anyway, I called because I got six kids on Long Island. I got two in private school, four in public school. That's non-union. They've all been in school since September. And I got to tell you, they're doing an amazing job, these schools. Anytime anyone gets positive, they send an email, they got it. It's unbelievable, and there's no reason it can't be done. They've been in school since September, no problems, perfectly happy, no issues. The school's doing an amazing job, and it's because they're free of unions. That's
yeah,
it.
Exactly right. It can be done. It's being done, as you point out, McMahon. Where are you in Long Island? Just curious.
South Shore area.
Okay, you don't want to give up your precise address.
Yeah, I don't want to give out the
I hear you. Six kids. Well, God bless. Good for you, McMahon. You're doing a great job. Thank you for the nice words on the Bernie and Sid show. By the way, Sid is out, a death in the family. Sadly, our condolences. We miss him. Sunday, Sid Sports Sunday, will return at noon to 2 on 77 WABC. Let us go to Jim in Brooklyn. How about Jim in Brooklyn, Matt Meaney?
What's hey, up? Good morning, guys.
What's up, Jim?
Deepest condolences to Sid. And, you know, a hidden part of your show is how you kind of incorporate your families into the listening audience, you know, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I have three daughters that teach in the public schools. Two of them teach in really depressed neighborhoods, and they love it. They love being with the kids. They're heartbroken. And they were at a union meeting. It was a virtual thing. And the union person said, I'll start worrying about the kids when they start paying dues. That's all you need to know about
That's
the teachers' union.
Outrageous. Outrageous. Yeah, Michael Mulgrew, you are a lousy, evil individual. You really rot. And you're going to rot in hell for what you did, Michael Mulgrew. Let's go to John in Westchester County. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bernie. How are you? I just wanted to thank and compliment you for fighting the good fight and telling the whole truth. You get the whole story when you listen to WABC and specifically your program, and that we're up against it today, and it's so hard for people to really make good decisions when they're only getting its slanted, biased parts of it. So hats off to you guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
I got to hand it to Bert.
Very nice, John. Very nice call. I appreciate that. That's our mandate here at 77 WABC from Mr. Katsimatidis is to tell the truth. And that's what we do. By the way, President Trump at CPAC Sunday at 3:40. Set your DVR. Sunday at 3:40. President Trump at CPAC on the Bernie and Sid Show. We're going to speak to Alan Dershowitz coming up next.
Mom's got a squeeze box she wears on her chest. But when daddy comes home,
he never gets no rest.
Gosh, she's playing.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app, simulcast out on Eastern Long Island. Maybe Martha's Vineyard, you can pick it up. News Talk 107.1 FM. I mentioned Martha's Vineyard because it's where our next guest has a summer home. His name is Alan Dershowitz. He's a brilliant constitutional attorney. Of course, you know him well. A prolific author. Man, the guy writes a book every single month, I think. He puts us to shame. He's been around for a while. Let's put it that way. Be polite about it. Good morning, Alan Dershowitz.
Hey, I'm happy to be 82 years old. I have another book coming out this month. I've written four this year. Living on Martha's Vineyard in the winter, escaping from COVID, and having a lot of time to write. I'm writing a book about the death of the First Amendment and freedom of speech and the new censors, high-tech, big government. Wow. Progressives, and so I'm always writing, but I appreciate being on your show.
We appreciate having you. Look, Sid's not here today. He had a death in the family.
Sorry to hear that.
Yes, yeah. Our condolences to the Rosenbergs. And we're going to get to the free speech stuff, Alan Dershowitz, momentarily. But in the meantime, and by the way, you're the host of a podcast called The Dersh Show. The Dersh
right,
Show.
The Dersh Show. The only thing that's missing is the wits. And the wits are provided by my callers. And we talk a lot about freedom of speech, and we talk a lot about what's going on in Washington. So please subscribe, tune in, YouTube, any Rumble.
Absolutely.
Happy to have your calls. Good.
Okay, so Alan, listen, the Saturday Night Live did a joke. And, this was the joke, and then we'll play it. We'll talk about it on the other side.
Israel, they vaccinated half of their population. And I'm going to guess it's the Jewish half.
Now, that really wasn't funny. It was not even a joke. It was a statement. But they have a history of it. They actually did a Miss Hitler pageant, and they said it was won by Miss Israel, the same comedian. So tomorrow night on Outside 30 Rock, before Saturday Night Live broadcasts, at 9 o'clock, Dov Hyken, former New York Assemblyman Dov Hyken, and Sid Rosenberg, my partner, they're going to be leading a rally to put Saturday Night Live on notice. That anti-Semitism is not cool. Have you heard about this, Alan?
I have, and I commend them for it. You know, Saturday Night Live has its First Amendment rights to be anti-Semitic and to tell unfunny, stupid jokes. And Dov Hyken and Sid have their First Amendment right to protest it. So we're seeing the First Amendment alive and well in New York. Look, NBC has a history of this. They had to take off the air a show, Nurses, the other day, because they portrayed Hasidic Jews refusing to accept a bone graft because it might come from an Arab or, God forbid, a woman or a goy. You know, it was horrible. It was so stereotyped and so vicious that finally NBC did the right thing and they took it down because they have the right to decide what they want to put on the air as long as the government doesn't tell them to do it. I think it was Bill Sapphire, the great commentator, who once said, every American has the right to complain about the trash that's on television, except Uncle Sam. As long as the government doesn't tell us what we can watch and what we can see, it's great that we have protests. Let's hold them to account. Let's tell them that this kind of, you know, making fun of religion and making fun of the Jewish state isn't right. And, of course, they're factually wrong. The implication was that Israel denies its Arab or Christian citizens the right to have vaccines. Israel is completely equal when it comes to its own citizens. Every single citizen, whether Muslim or Jewish or Christian or Hindu or Zoroastrian, gets the same right to get a vaccine, and the vaccination is equally available to all. So the joke was stupid, wrong, and most of all, not at all funny.
Right, but they do have the right to be stupid, wrong, and not funny, as you point out. And Sid and Dov Hyken, they
have
not
the right to criticize them.
Right,
yeah.
They're not calling for the firing of this guy, Michael Che. They just want to put it on notice, Saturday Night Live, again, that type of stuff is not cool. Is what we're taking notice is what they're expressing tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on 49th Street outside 30 Rock. And Alan Dershowitz, speaking of free speech. Congress held a hearing the other day on disinformation. And of course, it wasn't about the Russia collusion disinformation or the hands up, don't shoot or the Jussie Smollett disinformation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was about right wing disinformation about the election, I guess it was. Tell us about that hearing. It's a very scary hearing.
It was very scary. You know, I grew up during McCarthyism. I remember with my father watching the House Un-American Activities Committee and people like Joseph McCarthy sending letters to Hollywood studios, sending letters to TV stations saying, why do you have these people on? If you're going to continue to have them on, you better explain it to us. And it intimidated them, and it created what was called a Hollywood blacklist and red channels. And we're seeing a repeat of that, because the letter sent by the two members of Congress said, why do you allow Fox, why do you allow Newsmax to be on your cable television? And if you are going to renew their contract, you better tell us why. So it was pure McCarthyism, this time coming from the left, coming from Democrats from Silicon Valley. It was scary, and they didn't invite, for example, Newsmax or Fox to present their perspective. And if they had invited me, I would have told them what CNN did to me. CNN doctored a tape. I had said in front of the Senate when I defended the president that if a president does anything unlawful, illegal, criminal-like, he could be impeached. They took that out. They doctored the tape. Wow. And they had me saying a president can be impeached, can't be impeached, even if he commits illegal conduct. And then they had their paid commentator say, oh, Dershowitz says a president can get away with murder and robbery and anything, leaving out the key words. And we didn't have any hearings about that. I've sued CNN, and they're going to have to answer in court to the defamation that they put forward about me. But this is very selective. It's like McCarthyism in reverse. When McCarthyism operated, they went after only the left. Now Congress, these committees are going after only the right. I'm a person who's a civil libertarian, a liberal. So, you know, this is not something that affects what I watch. I want to be able to flip the channels. I want to be able to watch CNN and then flip to Newsmax. I want to be able to watch MSNBC and then flip to Fox. So I get a diversity of points of view. And these members of Congress say, no, no, no. We only want you to watch CNN. We don't want you to watch Fox or Newsmax.
And it's oddly enough, ironically enough, the purveyors really of fake news mostly, they're supporting this. You have guys like CNN's Brian Stelter wants Fox News and Newsmax to be taken off the air. This guy ironically doesn't realize that it could happen to him and his network at some point in the future.
It's amazing. A series of writers wrote to publishers saying, we don't want you to publish any books by Trump enablers. We want you to censor. We want you to censor writers. This is writers. And these are people from CNN saying censor Fox. It's just wrong. It's a conflict of interest. And Americans have the right to flip the channels, watch whatever we want, and make up our own minds about what the truth is based on what we're presented on all the media.
Well, Alan Dershowitz, I have to tell you something. You're so impressive. You're a great American, and Godspeed out there on Martha's Vineyard. Check us out on News Talk 107.1 FM. I think you can pick us up, actually, out there. But look, The Dersh Show is the podcast, and the latest book is called what again, Alan? I can't keep up.
The latest book is The Case Against the New Censorship, Big Tech, Progressives and universities, and how the left is beginning to censor everything that they don't approve of. And it ends with a chapter on what happened in Congress just the other day. It's very up to date.
Wow, you're amazing. And at Twitter, at Alan Dershowitz. The man's 82 years old, folks. He's making us all look bad. God bless you, Alan Dershowitz. Thanks very much, man.
Thank you so much.
On the Bernie and Sid Show, let's go take a quick call here from Valerie in Lakewood, New Jersey. Good morning, Valerie.
Good morning. I'm calling in just to echo most of your callers. I'm in an ultra-Orthodox Jewish community. I'm a school bus driver here. We have been working since April 2020. These people have it down pat. I haven't gotten the COVID. I wear my mask, disinfect my bus. It's all good. These kids have been going to school since
two weeks
after it happened.
Well, Valerie, thank you for that information. In other words, this $2 trillion COVID rescue plan, quote unquote, that's what they're calling it, of which only about 9% goes directly to COVID relief. The rest of it is just pork. It's just garbage. It's pet projects for Nancy Pelosi, Schmuck Schumer, billions of dollars for foreign countries and for state bailouts as well. But it's unnecessary. We don't need it. Just open the schools and wear masks and follow the protocols, and you can do it. And these kids will not be Lydia played a clip of a kid this morning when she found out that her school was reopening. It will chill your heart. It will make you cry, actually. Anyway, let's go to Sandra from New Jersey. Good morning, Sandra. You're on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Good morning, Bernie. How are you?
Always good on Friday, Sandra. Thank you.
So a lot's going on in my life. My husband had a liver transplant yesterday at Columbia Presbyterian. I lost my mother last month, as you know. So when I come home, so I want you to tell Lydia that if I don't call her show because I adore her, that's because I'm in the hospital sitting next to my husband. But what I wanted to say is when I come home at night, I no longer could watch Saturday Night Live because I don't tape it anymore. I don't watch the late shows anymore because they bash Trump. So where is the fun anymore on TV? So all I do is watch the news. I watch Lifetime, and that's it.
No, you're right. Sandra, listen, I have to let you go. You're a bad connection. Plus, we're out of time. But you're absolutely right. And this is the reason why, it's sort of schadenfreude. I'm taking some glee in the flack that Saturday Night Live is taking because I hate them, too. I mean, they are so hateful that they've turned me into I hate them. And Jimmy Kimmel as well. I used to love Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Kimmel show. Stephen Colbert, they're all hateful people. Instead of telling jokes, they make statements. People applaud as opposed to laugh because they make statements. They're not funny anymore. They're political. They're hateful. And for 4 years, they trashed a great president and his supporters, by extension, people like us, which is why when something does happen at Saturday Night Live, and again, nobody's calling for anybody to be fired, but it is the right of anybody to protest a certain sentiment. In this case, it's anti-Semitism repeated over and over again, which is what Dov Hyken and Sid Rosenberg will be, protesting and putting Saturday Night Live on notice, saying it ain't cool. Again, that's on 49th Street tomorrow night at 9 o'clock outside 30 Rock between 5th and 6th Street, 49th Street. Check it out. Be there, folks. Show your support. Dov Hyken and Sid Rosenberg, and put Saturday Night Live on notice that anti-Semitism is not cool, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't get no respect.
Here we go.
Why do you fill me up?
Fill me up, buttercup, baby.
Just to let me down.
Let me down.
And mess me around. And then
worst of all,
never fall, baby.
Like here on the Bernie and Sid Show. We're heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. Simulcast out on Eastern Long Island News Talk 107.1, as I just mentioned, with our former guest, Alan Dershowitz, in its studio. Joining me right now, by the way, my friend, my great partner, Sid Rosenberg, not here this morning, suffered a terrible loss in his family. His nephew, a young man with three kids, passed away, and he is attending the funeral this morning. So our condolences go out to the Rosenbergs and the family of his nephew. He'll talk more about it on Monday, of course, though Sid will be in the return of Sid Sports Sunday this Sunday at noon to 2, following Janine Pirro's show right here on 77 WABC. But again, joining me in studio right now is the host of Red Carpet Rendezvous podcast. Her name is Lauren Conlin, ladies and gentlemen. You heard her before. She's great, actually.
Hi, Bernie.
Hello, Lauren.
How are you?
Always good on Friday, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I missed you last week.
Yes, what happened? You're playing hooky already?
Yeah, I'm playing hooky.
I mean, what the hell?
I wanted to ask you, though. I showed up today with a middle part. What do you think?
I like it, except it's not quite in the middle.
Wait, seriously?
It's a little bit to the right.
Okay.
I
so
swear
then,
to
you
God.
Know what? So then I'm just not capable of a middle part. I think I'm going to have to stick with a side part and just really disappoint Gen Z. Is that okay?
That is a major faux pas right there.
I know.
I mean, it really
is. I know.
It's like over your right eye almost.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm also wearing skinny jeans. So
but
I guess I'm doing everything wrong
no,
at this point.
No, excuse me.
Okay.
But it still looks good is what I was going to say.
You know what? You're
it looks
the best.
Very good.
You're the best.
It looks great.
And also, like, why are we taking advice from a generation that eats Tide Pods and does TikTok dances
exactly.
with their parents? And, you know, I mean,
come on. With age comes wisdom. They don't know anything. They're idiots.
Okay, so speaking of age, my guest on the podcast next week is amazing. It's Martin Cove from Karate Kid and Cobra Kai. He's 74 years
wow.
old. He is incredible. I talked to him yesterday. I am so excited for everyone to hear this interview. He's the best guy ever. And there's a huge cult following right now with Cobra Kai.
Yes. so I understand. It's on.
It's just not you. You're not the cult
well,
following.
No, it's not me. It's on one of the streaming services,
yes.
Right?
Netflix.
The Karate Kid. I am ashamed to announce that I have never seen the Karate Kid. And you know, Sid and I once interviewed.
Oh my gosh!
And I'm admitting that right now. We once interviewed Ralph Macchio.
Yeah.
For an hour, and I pretended like I was the biggest fan, and I was so excited about Cobra Kai, but I never saw it.
Wow.
So, however, I understand he's huge, and that these characters
it's huge.
Are huge. Yes, yes.
I mean, this show, the writing is so incredible. I find myself laughing out loud. It is nostalgic. It is 80s. It is everything you want, and I suggest you watch it. And Martin Cove, basically, I started the interview, and I was like, you know what? I just wanted to see if you were nice, because he's so evil and mean on this show.
Is that right?
And he's so nice. I was kidding. But, yeah, he's great. So I'm very excited to release that next
week.
Well,
you can check that out, folks. Again, it's the Red Carpet Rendezvous podcast with Lauren Conley.
Yes,
and,
I mean, you know, he's 74. I feel like he still probably thinks women belong in the kitchen, you know, but he's still,
really?
I forgive him for that, but yeah.
You had Frank Stallone on recently.
Yes,
and you,
exactly.
He was 70. And,
yes.
And you were like, I'm not going to say pervin' on him. But
it's okay.
Right.
I was. I was creeping.
You were.
Totally creeping.
But not so much with Marty. You like the older men.
Yeah, I guess so.
Apparently.
Yeah, sorry to my husband, but I guess so.
Okay. But Marty Cove, not so much.
No, I mean, I kind of was. If you see him, he aged very well.
Oh, really?
Very much like wine. And he is very strong. On the show, he wears all these, like, cutoffs, and, like, they're kind of hot. I mean, I don't know. I should stop now. Yeah, I should stop. It's fine.
That's fine.
Marty Cove, if you're listening, clearly I'm a fan.
So, Lauren, what the hell is going on these days? I mean, there's so much going on.
There's a lot.
I'll let you pick the first topic.
Okay. So let's talk about this week. I know it's been covered a lot, Lady Gaga and the dog napping. But I also want to get into what's been breaking this morning is that people think that maybe this theft was politically charged because she sang at the inauguration. So that could be a thing. People against Joe Biden maybe wanting to come in and steal her dogs and give her a little scare. I don't know if that's necessarily true. But it's a possibility. Now, I'll also say this. French bulldogs.
That would be really stupid.
It would be stupid, but would you put it past anybody? I wouldn't put it past anyone.
To shoot her dog. Walker
no, not. Oh, yeah.
Steal her dogs because she sang at the. So far, nothing has happened to Bruce Springsteen. Although, yes, he was arrested last November after the election, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. So you never know. I mean,
the chickens are coming home to roost.
Exactly. And I'll say French bulldogs, they're very sought after. I'm not sure if you were aware of this, but they are very expensive, very popular. And actually, one of my gay best guy friends says that if you live in Hell's Kitchen and you don't have a French bulldog, you're basically nothing. Like, you shouldn't exist. You should just
Why do I not doubt that?
I mean, it's a thing. So maybe these people just really wanted to ship some French bulldogs to Hell's Kitchen, the gays in Hell's Kitchen, to like make them cooler. You know, we don't know. We really don't know.
She did put out a $500,000 ransom
for
the two French bulldogs. No questions asked. She wants them back.
No questions asked. Yes. And she's, I think the email address, I have it somewhere where you can actually email the tips that you have to get this this reward. So I'll find it and I will.
Here's what immediately popped into my head was.
Yeah.
Where's the money for the reward of the capture of the guys who shot her dog walker?
Isn't that terrible?
I mean, well, there was nothing. It's like more concern for the dogs. Understandably, I have two dogs myself who I love to pieces.
Yeah.
But I mean, you have a human being who is, I think, in critical condition
so,
right now.
So, no, he's recovering well,
I read. Yes.
His name is Ryan Fisher. And you were absolutely correct. I took this as just information on everything. However, CNN, when everybody was releasing Ryan Fisher's name, they still referred to him as Lady Gaga's dog walker. And I was kind of like, you know, if that's not like a punch in the D, I don't know what is, right? Like, that's just such a gut punch. Like, publish his name.
It's kind of demeaning.
Everybody says his name. Like, publish his name now. It's time, right?
But essentially, he's like the guy who would hold an umbrella over Michael Jackson's head, you know, back in the day.
I don't know.
He's the guy that held the umbrella over Michael Jackson.
Yeah, and
he doesn't really have a name.
He has a name. Let's say his name. But now all the Hollywood dog walkers are freaking out, saying we need protection. We need pepper spray. We need this. We need that.
Listen, I talked about it earlier. L.A. is falling apart.
Yeah.
I don't want to get political here, but the DA.
It's your show. You can get political.
The DA Gasconi is releasing everybody from prison.
Yeah.
It's open season for the criminals.
I mean, that's why we live here and we don't live there, right?
Well, I mean, we have a similar problem, I think, in New York as well.
See,
New York and California.
As everybody knows, I live Upper East, so I don't pay attention. I just straight up like look ahead of me and everything is fine.
Good.
Yeah.
I like what I listen, it's all about you, Lauren. That's all. And I live on Long Island. Trust me, I don't have that problem, but I see it all around me.
Yeah.
And I saw it through the spring and summer. I did see it when we were over at 2 Penn Plaza, and it was brutal.
Okay, well, you're talking about Penn Plaza. It's a little bit different over there. You've got Port Authority.
Excuse me.
That's
yeah, but it was that's Midtown. I mean, as sickening as it was pre-pandemic, it got so bad during the pandemic. It looked like the South Bronx in its worst days.
No, I agree. I consider this more Midtown, like on the east side. I just consider that more like a hellhole over there. I don't know. It's like methadone clinics and like just like, you know, it's just a gross, grimy part of the city.
Yeah, you know what? You're smart to wear blinders.
Thank you.
I like that. Is there any other big...
So, you know, I want to bring up really quickly actress Shailene Woodley and Aaron Rodgers. They're recently engaged.
Right.
Or they have told people, we've been engaged for a long time. You guys just didn't know. We met during the pandemic. Now, Shailene, I found to be very interesting because she told Jimmy Fallon the other day that she never actually has seen Aaron play football, and she's not even a football fan. So
right.
I'm wondering, I thought to myself, you know, is she going to be the next Jessica Simpson? Is everyone going to start hating her? Is she going to start being bad luck for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers next year?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not even a sports fan, but I thought about this.
That's a possibility.
It
I heard
is,
her say,
right?
I can't believe I'm engaged to somebody who throws balls for a living.
I heard that too.
Right?
I heard that too. I was like, well, honey, I mean, you said yes, so
yeah.
You know, that's your future is balls. No pun. I don't know.
Shailene Woodley
yes.
and Aaron Rodgers, and
yes.
it's Lauren Conlon. Again, the podcast is Red Carpet Rendezvous. At Instagram, you can follow her at @Lauren_interviews. @Lauren_interviews, Lauren Conlon, who interviews Marty Cove
yes.
on the Red Carpet Rendezvous podcast. Lauren, you're great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're wonderful.
Enjoy your Upper East Side little haven up there. And
thank you.
Stay safe. Thank you, Lauren.
Thanks, Bernie.
And the part looks great on the Bernie and Sid show. Listen, we need to solicit a call for Beat Bernie, 1-800-848-9222 on the Bernie and Sid show.
Now, it's time to Beat Bernie.
It's time to Beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to Beat Bernie.
Yes, it is that time, and with... One Sidney Arthur Rosenberg out attending a funeral, which we all pass along our condolences to the Rosenberg family and extended family. I, Nat Meaty, will be filling in as host of today's Beat Bernie, and we have our contestant here. It is Jim from Mahwah, New Jersey, I believe. Jim, what's happening, man?
Hey, how are you?
Doing pretty good today. Cannot complain. You know, weekend's here, and I'm happy. How are you?
I'm not bad. I'm doing good.
Good. All right. You know how to play the game, right? 5 questions. I'll ask you 5. Bernie's out the studio right now, so he doesn't hear this. We'll bring him back in, ask him the same 5, and if you get more right than him, you win a $100 gift card. Sound good?
Good.
Okay. Here we go. Question number 1. When President Garfield was shot in 1881, what American inventor known for his invention of the telephone invented a type of metal detector to try and find the bullet in Garfield?
Alexander Graham Bell.
All right, 1 for 1. Off to a good start there, Jim. All right, in a May 2005 interview, W. Mark Felt, a former top FBI official, admits to being the anonymous source who leaked information about the White House's involvement in the Watergate break-in. What was W. Mark Felt's nickname?
Deep Throat.
All right, 2 for 2. Over number 3 here. Over many decades, the United States has been one of the countries that has imposed sanctions on Iran in response to the Iranian nuclear program, where Iranian scientists enrich what chemical element?
Plutonium.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax, you'll be Jesus.
Close.
Uranium.
Uranium is right.
Oh, God.
Is that your gut?
Yeah, that was my gut.
Yeah, gotta go with it, man. Gotta stick with it. All right, 2 for 3. All right, number 4. Get back on track here. On December 26th, the day after Christmas, in 2006, what former United States president and vice president passed away at the age of 93?
Can you give it to me again?
December 26th, 2006, what former president and vice president passed away at the age of 93?
Gerald Ford.
All right. Not bad. 3 of 4 here. Let's try to round it out here with a 4 for 5. Last one of the week. Martin Luther King Jr. once famously said, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards what?"
Justice.
All right. Not bad, Jim. Not bad. 4 for 5. You would have gone perfect had you gone with your gut. So that's a lesson to everybody out there. Go
yep,
with your gut.
I am too. That's not my forte.
That's all right. How's everything going out there in Mahwah, New Jersey?
Oh, pretty good. Just riding out the pandemic.
Gotcha. Working from home?
Yeah, I do a little bit of work from home, right?
Okay. Anybody you want to give a shout-out to while we're on the radio here?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, I'll put you on hold, and we got Bernie back in the studio. We'll bring you back, Jim, and talk to you then. But Bernard is here. Jim from Mahwah, Bern, went 4 for 5 today. So
very good, Jimbo.
All right.
Mahwah.
Mahwah, New Jersey. We'll get right to it here, Bernard. Question number one. When President Garfield was shot in 1881, what American inventor, known for his invention of the telephone, invented a type of metal detector to try and find the bullet inside Garfield?
Would have to be Bell, right?
Correct. One Alexander Graham Bell. Okay, number two. In a May 2005 interview, W. Mark Felt, a former top FBI official, admits to being the anonymous source who leaked information about the White
Deep
House.
Deep Throat.
There you go. Nickname was Deep Throat. All right, Bernard, number three. Over many decades, the United States has imposed sanctions against Iran in response to the Iranian nuclear program, where scientists enrich what chemical element?
Uranium.
Correct. That was the one that got past Jim from Mahwah. He said plutonium. But I asked him, Jim, what was your gut? And he said uranium. Just a lesson out there to go with your gut, people.
Yeah. Uranium is naturally occurring, and plutonium is man-made.
If I'm not mistaken. I think you're right. You know better than me.
The bomb they dropped in Hiroshima was uranium. The one they dropped on Nagasaki was plutonium. But anyway, I digress.
You never know what you're going to learn, people. All right, number four, going 3 for 3 so far. On December 26th, 2006, what former United States president and vice president passed away at the age of 93?
September 23, 2006?
2006 is the year. December 26th was the day.
And he was a former president. He was 96 years old.
93 years old, a former president and a vice president.
Oh, it'd have to be Richard Nixon.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax should be Jesus.
One Gerald Ford.
You know, and I knew Nixon didn't live to be that old, and, I got it wrong.
Here you go. At the time, Gerald Ford was the oldest living president. Now, who's the oldest living president now, Bernard?
Jimmy Carter.
There you go. Good. Not the last question, but here we go. 3 for 4, so 5. You get this, you tie. And unfortunately, Jim from Mahwah does not get the gift card. Martin Luther King Jr. once famously said, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards what?"
It bends towards... I have no idea.
Oh, my God. We have a winner.
Wrong,
are you kidding me? Towards justice.
Very good.
Bends
very
towards
nice.
Justice.
Nicely said, MLK.
Yeah, there you go. So Jim from Mahwah is here. We have a winner. This is the first time, I think, since early January we've had a winner.
How do you like that?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Very good, Jimbo.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, what do you do out there? Telecommunications? So you work from home, obviously.
Yeah, I worked for a company that rhymes with Verizon for like 24 years. But now I just do like... temp work for, different little telecoms.
Right. Are you anxious to get back into the office?
Yeah, I'm anxious to go back, yeah.
Everything sucks right now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I hear you. You don't sound too happy. Hey, listen, does he win anything?
He wins that $100 gift card.
All right, you win a $100 gift card, Jimbo. Come on, cheer up a little bit.
I'm happy. No, I'm very happy.
All right. Mahwah, New Jersey, near our friends at the Ramsey Subaru. You should check them out.
Ramsey Subaru? Okay.
All right, Jim. I'll
use my gift card, Tyson.
Thank you for playing Beat Bernie, sponsored by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. And 1-800-848-9222. We got a lot still to cover. Believe it or not, Cuomo, Trump at CPAC, the big Biden mess, Congress people. 30 congressmen actually sent a letter to the president. They want him to turn over the nuclear codes. What do they know that we don't know? 1-800-848-9222. And what should Trump do on Sunday? Should he actually, should he revisit the election or not? Just look, be forward-looking, look to the future, 2022, 2024. What do you think he should say? I already know what he, what I think. What do you think? 1-800-848-9222. We'll be right back.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
There was a well colonial boy, Jack Duncan was his name. He was born and raised in Ireland, in a place called Castlemaine.
Back here in the Bernie and Sid Show, a little early St. Patrick's Day celebration. Monday is March 1st, the month of St. Patrick's Day. And, well, that leads us into this basketball player. His name is Anthony Edwards. Who does he play for, man?
A Minnesota Timberwolves player, and it's kind of he was the number one overall draft pick last year. So
he's doing a press conference after the game, and oddly enough, one of the sports reporters has this thick accent, and he asks Anthony Edwards a question.
So if you get a win tonight, that would breed confidence going into those next four games against teams in the similar spots beside you in the table.
Where are you from, Jim?
Ireland.
I like your accent. It's tough. Oh. I want to learn how to talk like that. But ask your question again. I was too much listening to your accent.
Yeah, no problem, Ant.
no problem, Em. And listen, you had a win tonight. And how does it make you feel about tomorrow night's game now? And don't worry about my accent now. You're making fun of me. I don't like it at all. That was funny. Anthony Edwards was great. Listen, Andrew Cuomo, of course, in a lot of trouble. The walls are closing in on Il Duce over not only the deaths and the cover-up, but now it's sex harassment. You had Bill de Blasio saying, we need an investigation for this creep. And Kirsten Gillibrand says that, well, the accuser must be heard, but Cuomo must be heard as well. Real profile and courage. By the way, her standard for Kavanaugh wasn't that the accuser must be heard. It was she must be believed. This is what Kamala, Hillary, who have been silent, had said about Christine Blasey Ford. Forget about heard. Must be believed. That was the whole thing. But the Me Too movement turning against Governor Cuomo, Ashley Judd, what's her name from?
Eva Longoria
from Desperate Housewives. They're all turning on him. They say they believe the accuser, who by the way, has texts and emails to back up what she says. She actually says there are two people currently working in the Cuomo administration who are afraid to speak up. So the wall's closing in. But on the nursing home front, Ron Kim, the guy who Cuomo threatened to destroy, the Asian-American, who, by the way, another Asian-American was stabbed in the back last night down in Chinatown. So Governor Cuomo apparently, aiding this trend to attack Asians. Maybe or maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, this is what Ron Kim said at a protest on Wednesday.
We're asking Governor to immediately return all the hospital and nursing home lobbyist money, over $2 million that it took for over the last few years, immediately rescind and repeal that toxic corporate immunity that led to more deaths, turn over all the communication with the lobbyists to the press, to the journalists, and to the public, so we know exactly what you did. And lastly, we're dropping a letter to Congressmember Jerry Nadler to open up a congressional oversight hearing on this matter.
That's that
from Mr. Kim. Yeah, right. And he wonders why they compare him to, say, Don Corleone, or as I mentioned before, Il Duce, who met a very ignominious end, strapped up on a light pole by his ankles, dead, of course, along with his girlfriend. Look, the health and hospitals industry, one of the biggest donors to the Cuomo administration, and the thinking may be this: the motive here, because I always ask why. Why did he do it? He's a smart guy. He knew what would happen. Zucker must have known what would happen. He's a doctor. He's the health commissioner. Yet they still put these COVID patients, took them from the hospitals, put them in the nursing homes. And the reason may be that he gets all this money from the health and hospitals industry. Melissa DeRosa's father is one of the major lobbyists for the health and hospitals industry in Albany. And the thinking is they wanted to clear out the beds from the hospitals, all these old people on Medicare with COVID. Medicare doesn't pay much. They want to get wealthier people with good insurance, like the kind of insurance I have. They want those kind of people in filling those beds, and that's why they moved them. And that's what Ron Kim is talking about. He wants to see the communications between the Cuomo administration and the lobbyists. So chew on that one, folks, for a while. Jim is in Somers, New York. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Barney. Yeah. How you doing?
It could be always good on Friday. Thank you, Jim.
Okay. Sorry to hear about Sid.
Yes, we all are.
Yeah. The reason I'm calling is I'm trying to figure out how to start a movement. I'm not a fan of the cancel culture, but I do have a butt. My butt is Mario Cuomo. You know, to me, he gave birth to a mass murderer and a sex offender. And I'm wondering if there's any way we could start a movement to rename the Mario Cuomo Bridge back to the Tappan Zee Bridge.
I like that. I like that a lot. In this case, the man who named it, it should be, because Mario was a halfway decent guy. I mean, he wasn't the greatest statesman in the world, but he wasn't as bad as Andrew. However, the Cuomo Bridge, really, it just doesn't work. The Tappan Zee works. I hate the RFK Bridge. It is the tri-borough. We should not be naming bridges after politicians. Unless they're like 100 years old and everybody agrees they're great people. Not recent people. It never should happen. Jimmy, bring up a good point. Let's see. Patsy is in Spring Lake, New Jersey. Good morning, Patsy.
Good morning, B. I'm down here on the Irish Riviera.
I like it. I like
anyway,
it, Pats.
I got a question for you, my bro.
Hit me.
You know that Barack Obama is biracial, right?
Yeah, he's half black
and half white.
He was
talking to Bruce Springsteen. They were discussing reparations. And I'm just wondering, I heard Larry Elder talking about this morning. Does Barack Obama give a check or does he get a check?
Yeah, that's funny, Pat. Hey, man, I don't like that. That's racist, Patsy, whatever you said down there in Spring Lake.
I'll give a shout out to my man, DJ Sal, the hot one. Sal Saletto, you remember Sal?
Of course, yes, a great guy. You must be related to that cop in the park that gave me the ticket, man. What's wrong with you?
And John Corrigan, my friend John Corrigan from Spring Lake and his family.
Patsy, my brother, enjoy life down in Spring Lake. I love Patsy, a fan from way, way back. Let's go to Carol in Montauk, Strong Island. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, good morning. I just wanted to say... I love your Irish accent. I mean, that really gives me a chuckle. I used to remember from Imus days when you were...
The cardinal. What the hell are you looking at, woman? What are you doing there? Do I go to your temple and yell at you? Be Jesus. Leave me alone. I know, that's more harsh of an Irish accent than was the guy talking to Anthony Edwards. Play Anthony Edwards guy again real quick. Yeah, because my father was a... he spoke in a harsh manner. But there's another way of speaking that the Irish...
So if you get a win tonight,
see, they talk
confidence going into those next four games against teams in the similar spots beside you in the table.
Well, in similar spots down there behind the table. So you won last night. Now, how do you feel about winning tomorrow night? It's a little different from the Irish accent I did. But however, I quibble about minor things. So thank you, Carol, for the call. Again, condolences to the Rosenberg family on their loss. Sid Sports Sunday at noon on Sunday. It's back, folks, 12 to 2, right after Janine Pirro show. Again, it's Cousin Brucey tomorrow night. You also have Tony Orlando with Neil Sedaka tomorrow night.